right, folks, welcome back to yet another episode of Fresh Juice, an indie game podcast. I'm your host, Tommy Fresh, and joined as always, it is...
Maddie Juice. What is going on, everybody? Welcome to episode 85 of the Fresh Juice podcast. What? Oh my goodness, 85. How you doing, Tommy?
I am doing, well, kind of. I'm tired. I am tired. It was a fun weekend. It was a long weekend. I had work today. But happy to be back on the mics. I recorded Fresh and Buzz before this. We got a great episode for you all. We were at PAX East. We checked out a lot of games, played most of them, watched some of them more.
Yeah.
Kind of got a gauge on some really cool indie stuff coming out, as well as some bigger name stuff as well. It is going to be interesting to see how some of these games land as they go into early access and 1.0, some of them going forward. But it's going to be fun. Oh, you know, catching up. We were together all weekend. We went to Boston for PAX East, drove up there with our other cousin, Jake. We had a great time. We witnessed a street wizard on our street. That was kind of cool. He was hanging out there practicing his moves. That was pretty neat. And, geez, what else did we do? We went to PAX East. We're going to talk all about that. But I guess on the day off, we kind of went around and kind of drank our way through parts of Boston. You know, went to a couple breweries, watched the Knicks-Celtics game. And, yeah, really just kind of like it was like a busy weekend, but also kind of chill at the same time. And, you know. Now we're back in the saddle, right? It's back to reality. We got at least, I guess, probably 10 more months till the next PAX.
Yeah. At least there's
PAX
that.
PAX East. Yeah. At least there's that. There's something to look forward to. Oh, also, you're having a kid. But.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know.
Yeah. You know.
I mean, you know, PAX.
PAX. A kid.
Yeah. Same amount of letters, you know.
Yeah.
It's like the same.
Yeah, but you know, it was a good weekend overall. I had a lot of fun. You know, it was kind of an interesting PAX overall, which, you know, we'll talk about the games, but like in terms of the actual like convention, it's I don't know if it's shrinking or what's happening, or they're kind of like reevaluating what they kind of put their energy into. Not a bad thing, but it felt like there was a little bit less this year than normal, and there was a little bit more space. Don't mind the more space, to be honest, because some years you just like, you know, shoulder to shoulder with people when you're walking past some stuff, but like there was definitely less like games going on. But this could be just a recession indicator because you know, I was talking before the show, I know some people are getting laid off from my like the old industry I was in. A lot of things are going on, lot like less like disposable income, and games are like going to be affected by that. So I wonder if this is kind of an indicator of that. I'm not really sure, but how'd you feel about the weekend?
Yeah, I thought it was just awful. I think you know, PAX, it definitely like was a little bit smaller than it was last year, which I feel like we said a similar thing last year too. And I actually was reading online because I wanted to see kind of what other people were thinking. And some people, you know, they made the same observation. Some of them even said that there were a lot less international developers there than there normally is, and that could be like a reason of like, you know, things going on, I guess, in the US or whatever. So I'm like, okay, that could be a reason. And then apparently also there wasn't I don't fully remember like this exactly, but people were saying there wasn't like the indie mega kind of area. So I guess like it's a publisher maybe that brings a lot more indie games, which it did seem like there weren't as many indie games maybe as like previous years. There were still like a good amount. You know, still had a great time at PAX, you know, checking out Some cool games, definitely less party games than maybe what we're used to, which is maybe is a, coordinates with or correlates to the less indie games in general. But, you know, still had a good time with the boys and had a good time on Saturday, you know, got some great cannolis, right?
Yeah.
Mike's Pastry, shout out Mike. And, and then also, you know, yeah, hit us some breweries, watched a little basketball. We ended up getting like a perfect seating for the game, which I honestly was expecting us to like wherever we went, there was going to be like a long wait. But no, we got it. We got it. And I felt like the weather held up too a little bit. I mean, it was like a little rainy like the first day, but like I feel like it kind of wasn't that bad, you know, Saturday and Sunday.
Yeah. It was like, I mean, it was kind of annoying that like after Friday, the Friday session, it was like really pouring. So it was like, we couldn't, we had to get like an Uber, right? I mean, like we could try to hoof it to the train station, but we were going to get soaked. I had stuff in my, we all had stuff in our backpacks. That wasn't really an option. So, you know, we went over to the hotel next door. It was like, oh, maybe we'll be able to get into the Irish pub. We knew it would be busy, but it was actually just closed for like a content creator thing. And to be honest, listen, I think we gotta just try to hop on that somehow going forward, because if the con gets smaller, listen, we get a little bit closer to having some status there. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Until it's just us, you know, and we're getting all the swag. Yeah, actually, I did look into that. They have, like, the creator and, like, the media badges. And it's, like, a certain window of time that they're open. So we'll just need to make sure that we're, you know, aware of when that opens. Just apply and see what happens, you know?
We'll see.
Yeah. But, yeah, that also was another part, too, where I remember going to, like, that Red Bull, like, after party kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And this time it seemed like, because at least it mentioned Red Bull. I don't know if it was the same sort of party. It was definitely wasn't at the same location, but it was only for like the creator and the press badge people. So I'm like, oh, okay. Like, I don't know. It could be nice to have a little bit more for like the average Joe, you know? Regardless, you know, it's always just a good time just like walking around, like just looking at stuff. Even if you're not playing some of the games, like sometimes it's just fun watching them. But yeah, definitely was a little gap there with some of the party games, because I'm used to, you know, or we're used to kind of having that experience of like one booth is just like everyone's like cheering, you know, because like there's like some crazy party game that's going on. That didn't really happen this year. We'll talk about one of the games where I think it could have happened, but they didn't really have like the right setup. But yeah, either way,
good weekend.
Good time. I also had a free beer today. I know I did let you know about this earlier, but for the listeners, I went to a liquor store, picked up 4 beers, and the guy was like, oh, is that an IPA? I was like, yeah. And he's like, oh, have you ever had this one? And he like pulled up like this Heady Topper, which we're familiar with. And I was like, oh yeah, Heady Topper. He's like, here you go. I was like, thanks, man. He just gave it to me for free.
Nice.
So, you know, nothing tastes better than a free beer.
Yeah. Free is my favorite price on a beer, but listen, I don't want to make it sound like we're going to doom and gloom packs because some things were different, but it was still a really good weekend. And we actually checked out a lot of really cool games. And, you know, I think we should get into that first, probably.
Yeah.
Just like while it's fresh in our minds, fresh juice. And we have a game list of stuff we like watched, stuff that like had like cool booths, stuff we played. First one up on the list is probably the one that arguably the both of us are the most hyped for coming out. Indie game called Hell Clock, which is a kind of Diablo-like, roguelike, where it had this kind of cool mechanic where it's timed, right? Like you have timed runs and, you know, there are certain things you could do to get more time. It's not like a straight amount of time that you have each time. That's a lot of times I said the word time, but it was fun. I mean, it was very much like Diablo in terms of the loot and the mechanics. And then you had like the kind of upgrade system of a roguelike, right? You get three choices to upgrade something. It was fun. I'm interested to see how deep it will actually be, but the demo was good and it was very engaging, and I could see it being a lot of fun. I know you were pretty hyped on it because this is really kind of something after your own heart.
Yeah, it was. I had a great time playing it. Only did one run, and basically, like at PAX, you went through. There's like every level is a floor. So once you get seventh floor, that's where the boss is. And I didn't end up beating the boss. They actually got me good during the boss battle. But I did download the demo today, and it says you can play up to floor 14. Oh, so. Wow. I'll have to give that a shot. I've only played a little bit of it and didn't get too far. But yeah, I enjoyed the game. You know, I know it's like a simple game, clearly inspired by Diablo. And I also really like the trinket system that they have. So essentially for the listeners, you kind of just pick up these trinkets that give you like different buffs. So you don't, you know, you have to make those decisions like Tommy said, of like choosing one of the three items every time you level up. But then you're also kind of like almost like passively upgrading some of your like your health and your attack damage, because when you kill certain enemies, you drop a trinket and you just pick it up and that automatically gets applied to your character, which I like. You know, it's not like you have to keep making all these micro decisions. It feels Diablo-esque because those trinkets are different rarities, and it kind of just makes it feel like there's a lot of loot in the game, which I think is what they're kind of going for. So, yeah, I think it's a cool concept. There's also a mode in the demo called Relaxed where there is no clock at all. So if you really just wanted to play it like Diablo, you could, or just like a Diablo roguelike. But, yeah, so pretty cool game for sure. Definitely added to the wish list pretty quickly.
Nice, nice. Also, yeah. You know, on the other side of things that perhaps isn't indie, but Dune Awakening had a huge booth, giant sandworm that looked awesome. Yeah. That was kind of the big picturesque spot at the con for sure. Yeah. I didn't get to play it, but you went over there and you were able to, because you have a little bit of a connection with playing Dune Awakening. How was that experience, like being able to kind of be like, hey, I'm Matty Gorm. I've played this, you know?
Yeah, no, it was cool because I had talked, for those who don't know, like I was in the preview event for Dune. I was fortunate enough to get like invited to that. It just allowed me to play the beta under like NDA and then like could stream it on like one special day or whatever. So that was cool. Allowed me to record some content for it. But I was talking to their PR people like through email, and I saw that they were going to PAX, and they're like, oh, we'll add you to our VIP list. Didn't give me any explanation of what that was. So I was just like, okay, like that's cool. Maybe I'll get like a sticker or something. I don't know. And yeah, it was like a 2.5 hour line apparently at Dune. And I just kind of walked over and I met the PR person I talked to was there. And I was like, you know, introduced myself, and they were, oh, there's like, we have like some of these creator like seats here. Like, we have an appointment in like 15 minutes, but you're welcome to go right now and like play. And so I just went and played some Dune that was not actually in the preview. It was like new content. And they had these awesome things that I've never seen before on the actual chairs you sat in. Is made by Razer, and basically as things were happening in the game, it was like vibrating, and it kind of gave you that like, you know, extra experience of like all the in a weird way.
No.
But like, especially when you're playing a game like Dune, there's a lot of things rumbling, right? And worms afoot. So it was cool. It added a nice little touch to the game. I don't think I'll be buying one myself. I imagine they're a little expensive, but it was fun to play it, and you had a kind of a maxed out character or like a bunch of items. So it was cool being able to like experience like guns that I wasn't able to use in the beta. I know they just wrapped up their beta too. They had it the weekend of PAX. And so the game comes out in like a month. I'm excited for that. But yeah, they definitely had like the premier booth. Maybe like Elden Ring would be second, and we could talk about that in a little bit, but just because of the way their booth looked. Yeah, Dune definitely had like the big worm, and there was even someone cosplayed that worked for them. It kept taking pictures in front of the worm every time I'd go by, it'd be like the same person, and you could take a picture of them in front of the worm that I guess the booth hired. But yeah, it definitely had the longest lines, I would say, of any of the games there, which was cool. I'm excited for the game to come out. So yeah, had a good time playing Dune. Hopefully, I did give away some keys as well in my own Discord. So if you are listening, you know, hopefully you enjoyed playing this past weekend. And yeah, maybe I'll get some game keys to give away at some point on the Fresh Juice podcast.
Maybe. I mean, we might as well hit Elden Ring, though, because you mentioned it. It had an interesting thing going on. The Elden Ring Night Rain had like this dome in the middle of the convention center. And there was a lot of mystery about it. And it turns out you had to get there pretty early before the expo hall opened, I guess. And like you had to get tickets to go in for a demonstration. But some two people that we'll mention in a bit let us know that you get a demonstration and then they pick three random people to play the game, which is, I mean... The game comes out, what, a month?
It comes out the 30th, so less than a month.
Yeah.
Like a few weeks. 2 weeks it'll be out, basically.
Yeah, it seems crazy that there wasn't, like, an actual demo. But, like, I mean, like, an accessible demo. Although people would be lined up like crazy to play it, obviously. What do you make of that?
Yeah, I thought it was weird because obviously at first you're thinking, you know, you get to play the game early. Because I was considering kind of going over there. Maybe like early on Sunday and just like getting in line or whatever it was. I don't really know how it works before the show floor opens, but apparently they let you in for certain things maybe, just to get kind of a ticket in line. But once I saw there was a sign that said show times, I was like, oh, they're just like showing a movie in there. I don't know. It seems like, one, I'm glad they were there because it helps fill space, right? But two, it's just like it almost feels like it's a waste of space in a way. It's just like a big advertisement essentially for the game because it just looks so different from all the other booths. You know, is what it is kind of thing. I did see, though, and I think the people you were just referencing also mentioned that if you were one of the lucky few to get chosen to play and you beat the boss – you got like, I don't know if you got like a key to the game. You got like something, but I know a few things, I think. But I know one of the things you got, I saw a guy wearing, it's a shirt and on the back it says like, I defeated the, and it's like the name of the boss.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So like if you beat the boss, you know, you got that, which I definitely wouldn't have. So I'm like, okay, there's no point in trying to even play. But yeah, it you know. I was excited that Elden Ring was going to be there. I got a lanyard with the Elden Ring Night Rain logo on it, which was cool. But I don't know. I would have liked if it was just a normal booth and I could just line like the Dune booth where they just had a bunch of, you know, computers. That game comes out in a month too, you know.
Yeah.
And they were letting people play it. So, it would have been cool if it was that. But still cool to see them there. And yeah, we'll see. I don't know. Maybe they'll be at the next pack showing the that other game that they're working on just for the Switch 2. I forget the name of it right now, but it's like the Switch 2 exclusive from the same dev. So maybe they'll be at the next one with that and hopefully let me play it. That would be cool.
Yeah, that'd be neat. Now, you also played something called Crimson Desert, which is another kind of Souls-like, but you said it was like a lot faster.
Yeah, so I remember seeing the trailer for Crimson Desert. It had a lot of people hyped because it just kind of came out of nowhere. And like the trailer for it, if you guys watch it, I think it's from like the Summer Game Fest. It's a game that looks like it has like everything in it, like all these different mechanics. You're like flying around. It's got these big boss battles. Like I think you're even like fishing at some point. It's just got like everything in it. And it seemed kind of Souls-like-y, but yes, it was a lot faster. I did get a chance to play it, waited in line for maybe like an hour. They took you into a little room that actually was great. I think every big game there should do this, where it just puts you through like a 10-minute explanation of what's in this demo you're about to play, what the controls are, and then also based on the boss you pick was how long your demo was going to be. Which I thought was interesting. So I had to get to like a meeting. So I chose like the quickest one. Mm. But I thought that was cool because it kind of like, I don't know, gives a little variance of like every time, maybe if you get in that line again, you know, you play a different boss. So gave you a reason to kind of keep coming back. But as far as the gameplay, think like kind of Elden Ring or, you know, like a Souls game, but the boss doesn't give you any room to breathe. And, you know, there's some other like mechanics in it. It's not exactly a Souls-like, you know, there's a whole like weapon wheel that you can like switch between. And also, I don't know if I had like unlimited heals. I don't know if that was just a demo thing, but I never ran out. But yeah, Crimson Desert, it's definitely on my list. I did talk to them a little bit and, you know, potentially, you know, might get like, you know, do some content on that game. At some point, but yeah, it was definitely a really fun game to watch, but a very difficult game to master.
Mm.
So, at least from my experience with that one boss that I fought, really just like really tough. It's going to be a tough game, but I feel like it's still, that kind of helps it get into more of like the Souls-like fan base because it is a difficult game. So I feel like it's going to latch on to the Souls-like people. But yeah, cool game. Cool game. Cool name, too. I mean, two desert games at PAX, you know?
It's the year of the desert, folks. It is the year of the desert. Next game that we, like, were going to play, but, like, they had closed the line was Soulmates. This was the kind of Overcooked-like game. If I'm remembering correctly, except it's on a space station and you're running around. It's a co-op game where you are just basically trying to make sure the spaceship works, right?
Yeah.
They did say that it's not as stressful as Overcooked because that game can get a little overwhelming, but has the same kind of vibe. One of the devs had talked to us while we were just watching and really gave it a great pitch. It seemed like, you know, we can't really speak to how good the game is, but like they really did seem to be really passionate about it. So it was probably just worth mentioning if anybody wants to check, you know, their Steam page out. They seemed pretty awesome. Anything to add on Soulmates?
Yeah, you know, obviously it would have been cool to play it. But I actually think this one appeals to me more than a game like Overcooked. I do like playing Overcooked. I played a little bit at PAX with our cousin Jake, who had never played it before. So we sat down and tried it out. I think he liked it. But I feel like this is almost more like you're kind of working together more than like, I feel like Overcooked, it's like the blame game of just like, you're supposed and like handling the tortillas, you know, or like whatever. This is more just like, you know, like we're getting attacked, like everybody, you know, all hands on deck kind of thing. So I think it's a cool idea and I'll definitely keep my eye on it. You know, it seems like it could be a fun party game. So yeah, but I did not play this next game that we're talking about, Monster Train 2. You want to tell us a little bit about that one?
Yeah, Devolver, I don't know if it was part of I guess it is Devolver, but it was part of the big Devolver booth. Monster Train 2, which is a deck builder roguelike. Monster Train 1 is considered probably one of the better ones, right? Top 5. That I played a little bit in the past. It has a pretty unique mechanics in terms of it's auto battler like, but you know, with heavy deck building elements. You're on this train and these monsters come on. You got to play your monsters and they kind of auto battle before they get to the top of your train and like will deal damage to your engine or whatever. And to be honest, like this feels like they just did a lot of updates to the original one. It doesn't feel very new, but it feels very clean, very like just updated, like a facelifted Monster Train 1 with more content. Which is like, I guess, what a sequel tends to be anyway. But like, I wasn't like, oh, there's a lot of new stuff going on here. It was fun. It's not my favorite kind of deck builder. I think the art style on this is a little bit too busy for me. But very cool game. I think people are going to be pretty hyped about it anyway if they're fans of the first one. Where the first one probably had too limited of or a strictly limited amount of content where this is going to be a little bit more expansive, which is probably just what everybody wanted anyway. But it was a good time to play. And yeah, that comes out, I think, next or maybe in a couple weeks. So keep an eye out for that. That one's going to be big for the deck builder roguelike fans out there. I also played a game called Gug, which is like, I actually did some research on this game after, because I was like, it was pretty interesting, but like, you know, some of the stuff that like you experienced in the demo was a little weird, right? The art style was like, you know, pretty stark, and it's kind of like they didn't really have like a actual booth, really. They just had cutouts of these Gug monsters, Gugmans, but...
They're cheesy looking, right? Yeah.
So I
like cheese, not like cheesy, but like made of cheese.
So basically, it's a game where it's using a lot of generative AI. So like it's a little weird. You just type in a name and it generates a Gug for you, and it has random stats. Sorry. I'm just remembering how weird these Gugs looked, and like they were strange. So it's using a lot of generative AI. I'm not sure how much of it is in the art. Like, it makes sense for the one mechanic. So like, it is a neat use of it where you just type in whatever name you want to name it, and for whatever reason, it will just generate. I don't know if it's random or has anything to do with the name, but it'll generate a unique Gug where the Gug has like unique stats and a unique ability that like is probably within a set of abilities. But it was like an auto battler, which was fun, like,
yeah,
but there was something a little sus about it. I'm not really sure, like, even like the people I talked to there, but you did get a free trading card for playing it. That was kind of neat. You didn't get to play it, but you definitely we were making Gug jokes all weekend, so
yeah.
And we're still making them right now, so there you go.
Yeah, it's definitely, you know, I didn't even really watch too much gameplay, but I know kind of like what it looks like. And actually, the Gugs, I follow an artist on Twitter that draws in this and, you know, illustrates in this same exact art style. So, and they're very against AI, which is fair. So kind of curious, you know, I feel like this game is, you know, it's fighting an uphill battle. Basically, because of that, even though it is a cool implementation of it, I still feel like at the end of the day, someone's going to be like, well, you could have paid artists, right, to do all that. So I don't know. I feel like it's a pretty brave game to bring to PAX, I'd say, because there were also some booths there that were focused on non-AI art, and they spelled it out, actually. They were like, none of our art is AI generated, you know, so... interesting. It definitely has like a target market, but again, I think it's got an uphill battle.
Yeah. I mean, like, the content disclosure is that the game relies on AI to underpin its procedural image and functionality generation systems. So the systems that allow for personalized creatures and their effects. So like, I understand what they're going for here. It's a little interesting. The fact that like they only had pictures of these Gugs posted around their booth, it's kind of the red flag here, where they weren't advertising anything other than these things that look like this. So it was very strange. But other than that, we did play a pretty fun game called Ultimate Sheep Raccoon, which I think you said was basically a sequel to Ultimate Chicken Jockey or something like that.
Ultimate Chicken Horse. Chicken Horse. Which is actually a game that I ended up refunding.
Oh.
Just because, I don't know, it just wasn't for me, really. But I know some of the guys in the group like it. for those who don't know, Ultimate Chicken Horse is essentially like a party game where you're trying to get to the finish line, and every player is allowed to like place hazards down so that, you know, they can stop the other players from getting to the finish line first. This game, same exact concept, you know, different characters, different items you can place down. Obviously, it's got, you know, a sheep and a raccoon in it too, which I don't know if Ultimate Chicken Horse did. Maybe a little, I felt like it was a little bit more user friendly, mm-hmm. Just like maybe almost like built for console versus like, I always felt like Ultimate Chicken Horse was a little bit more built for PC. So maybe they're just trying to target that market, and they figured, you know, if this is the same studio, I think it is, I would imagine, so, if
yeah.
the name is so similar, that's maybe what they're trying to go for. But yeah, it was fun though. I just I don't know, these like that's those style games like don't really make me want to like have that be a regular game in the rotation of party games, just because I feel like it's like built on like making people frustrated. kind of, right? And I'm just like, I don't know, I'd rather and it's, some of it's like luck based too, where I'm just like, sometimes like during the runs I'm like, okay, well, what am I supposed to do like mm-hmm. here, you know, like there's nothing I can do at this point. You just gotta hope I survive, and just so I can roll it past the finish. So yeah, but was it a game that you think you'd pick up?
So I really like the concept, right? In practice, I don't know if I loved it, like some of like the actual controls and like the timing and like the opportunity windows on playing were like a little rough, but like, you know, this kind of racing game where you create the obstacles is interesting. I think it can be really good. You know, I don't know if this was the best version of it. Because that's what essentially you're doing, it like Mario Kart. You're throwing out obstacles for your opponents too. But like, I feel like this is cool, but I don't know if it's necessarily going to stick the landing. I'll be willing to like check it out. Maybe like actually get a play session with some like friends and see how it actually goes. You know, we played one round. We were just learning it, and you know, we were playing with a fourth person that we didn't really know, so like we couldn't really talk too much smack or anything like that, so it's hard to really give it its fair shake when it's like that. So but it was cool. I love the art style. That's what really drew me in, this kind of Cartoon Network Adult Swimmy kind of thing going on that was neat. Swap Meet we didn't play, but they gave us some promotional material for it, and it looked cool. I don't even really know what it was. I mean, I think some kind of third-person shooter, but there was a decent amount of hype around that because there was always a line there. So that might just be something we just check out because it was there.
Yeah, it you know, Swap Meet's actually a game like I've been following for a little bit on TikTok, actually. And I think it's a cool concept. You know, would have liked to had a chance to play it, but yeah, the line was like pretty long anytime I was like over there. And long for an indie game, I should say. And also, you know, side note, you know, we've talked about this. Some indie games, or just even some developers there in general, need a better understanding of how long their demos should be and how many people are playing at once. Because sometimes it was like 15-minute demos and two people will go at once. So it's just like that line's going to move pretty slow, you know. But anyway, I don't think that was an issue for Swap Meet. But yeah, it's an interesting game, and it's a roguelike, and they call it a meet-em-up. So, you know, I guess like a beat-em-up. It did look like there was like some shooting involved as well. You can play solo or co-op. And the thing that kind of attracted me to the game and why I've been following it for just a little bit before PAX was the main mechanic in the game is you harvest like mutant body parts and you like wield their powers. So essentially like you kind of like build your character with these body parts that you find, and that each of those body parts kind of has a different power. Kind of a cool idea, you know. Could make each run pretty interesting based on maybe like the order of enemies that you come across with each run. And yeah, seems like an interesting game. So probably, yeah, something we'll cover on the show. But Swap Meet, keep your eye out for that one. It's like a well-made game, but, you know, didn't get the hands on. So
yeah,
Don't know for sure.
The next one is, I think this, The Last Caretaker, is this the one that you were brought into a room in a hotel to play?
Yes. So there's a little backstory with this one. I was fortunate enough to get invited to check out this game called The Last Caretaker at PAX, which is, I'll actually be doing some videos on it. I have footage recorded of me playing it. They were kind enough to provide like a USB of my footage. And it's essentially a single player survival game where you are this robot caretaker and you wake up like after 100 years of like being like out of commission or frozen, whatever it is. And the earth is now an ocean. And there's kind of just like these seaports you go to, or like these kind of rigs that you go to. So you have to fix your boat. It's kind of this like, you know, this kind of like fisherman's, like old fisherman sort of boat. So it's kind of got that cool vibe to it. And like the ocean is, the game looks fantastic, built with Unreal Engine 5. And yeah, so I was fortunate enough to get invited to go play this, and kind of like the little bit of a backstory before I played it is that it was at a hotel right across the street from PAX. And I didn't know it was like only like a 2 minute walk away. So I kind of prepared for it to be like a 15 minute walk. So I go into the hotel, and all I know is that it's like suite. It's like a suite number. It's like 22,000 something is the suite number. And I'm like, I don't know how to get to that. I don't even know. Is that on the 22nd floor or is that on like the second floor? I have no idea. I like asked the person in the lobby. I was like, oh, like, you know where this suite is? And she's like, she needed my ID. And then she had to call the room and be like, is it okay if you know, I come up? And they were like, yes, like it's fine or whatever. She had to give me like a room key and tell me where to go. And then like, I get up there and I knock on the door, and there were two guys I met. They were awesome. Auntie and Jack. And Auntie is like the main kind of developer, like it's his baby, and Jack is the community manager. But Auntie answers the door, and I don't know who he is at the time. You know, I'm just like, oh, hey, like I'm Matt. And he just like takes this orange scarf that he's wearing and he just puts it over my head. And I was just like, oh, okay. And, you know, as I'm going up to that room, I'm also thinking like, am I going to be sex trafficked? Like, I don't know what's going on. I'm going up to some hotel room that I've never been to. But no, they were great. Game is really cool. You know, still a work in progress, but they were awesome. And honestly, it was like one of the highlights of me, like a gaming session that I've had at PAX ever. Cause I was like, I really felt like I almost didn't belong there. The content creator that was in there before me, since I showed up a little early, he had his own cameraman and stuff. And they had like a laptop set up with like a microphone and a webcam. And I was like, oh my God, like, am I supposed to record something in here? Like I let them know. I was like, this is the first time I'm doing this, but they were awesome. They did a little presentation on the game and really made me feel like I was like, wow, like I'm doing something serious with like content creation, which is really cool. Like, I don't know. It just made me feel pretty cool. They gave me some cool swag as well. And yeah, it's a cool game. So I'll definitely, you know, do some coverage on it. So if you're interested, The Last Caretaker is the name of the game again. Feel free to look it up. If you're into survival games, especially single player ones, I think it's going to be another like great one. So check it out. Check it out. Yeah. Pretty cool experience though, overall. And I'm glad I made it out alive.
Yeah. Yeah. Jake and I were just like, well, I wonder what's happening to him right now. And you came back and that was awesome. It does sound like a really cool experience, and hopefully more of that to come for you. Especially with these survival games, and you know, people love them and people don't understand them. That is for sure. When I'm on TikTok, I saw one TikTok about Dune and they're like, pretty cool, but why is this game like this? And then I was like, no, people were like, it's different than normal, not different than normal games, but different than games where the general public typically play, and that's the biggest thing. But you also played Mordfield Command, a game that we were invited to play. I just let you play because I was like, you know what? This seems like a fun experience for Matt, because it wasn't a game you would normally play, but it seemed pretty cool though, right? Like they had a whole story about it. It was a turn-based kind of tactical like game, not real-time strategy, but a strategy game. So yeah. What were your thoughts there?
Yeah, it was the story of this this RTS essentially is that the robots have like taken over the world, and you know I'm kind of summarizing this because there was like a good amount of backstory, which is really cool. But the robots have essentially taken over the world to the point where like humans don't really come out that much. Like they're just trying to survive, but they are coming out and they're trying to get supplies. And you essentially need to fight off these robots. You can build different machines that help you generate different materials and different items to use, which is cool. And honestly, I just played through the tutorial, and the tutorial did such a great job of like one, obviously teaching you how to play, but also making it feel like you were like playing the game. It wasn't just like, you know, they said it was like very much on rails, the tutorial. But for me, I don't know, like I was also using it as an excuse to kind of just like, I'm going to move my guys over here and just like check out over here. Like I don't need to go directly to the next marker. Right. So yeah, it's a interesting RTS again called Mordfield Command. So if you're interested in like games like Civ, I know the developer I talked to, Josh, he said there's like some Civ influence in there. Unfortunately, like those, you know, aren't really like big genres that I play, and I let him know that too. And I also said like also like I was able to beat the tutorial, which, you know, I died a few times like playing it, so I was just like I was happy to like finish something in the game. And I started also to kind of get the hang of it towards the end. I'm like, okay, like this is almost like I kind of kept thinking like this is almost like a survival game where mm-hmm. like you build a facility, allows you to craft these sort of things, right? The only difference is, you know, it's kind of an overhead map, obviously, and you're controlling, you know, your units on this grid system versus like being able to go wherever you kind of want to. But yeah, so I started thinking of it like that, and it started to make more and more sense. I honestly think the biggest thing, the biggest struggle I had with the game, it's just there's a lot on the screen. And for someone who doesn't play those sort of games all the time, I had to like really like take a minute to like be like, okay, when I click on this, like these things are highlighted over here. Does that mean I can use them? Oh, I can use those things. Those icons I can click on. They're not just telling me something, you know, that like, you know, I'm out of ammo or something like that. So just like figuring that sort of stuff out was maybe something they could add to the tutorial. It wasn't like in there a lot. It was more about like the gameplay mechanics versus like what you're seeing on the screen in your HUD. But yeah, cool game for sure. And started as a solo project, and then he brought in a few other devs to help out with it. And you know, I think it's close to release. And so if you're into those style games, I honestly think it's probably going to be one you really like as well. It was really well made, and it seemed like, you know, there were other people at the PCs there as well. And pretty much every time I walked by, there were like people that were like really glued to it. The guy next to me was asking like so many questions that were like, he clearly plays a lot of RTS games. Yeah. And like, he seemed pretty satisfied with all the answers from the developer. He was like, oh, that's really cool. Like, what a neat idea. Like things like that. So I'm hoping it does well. But yeah, fortunate enough to check that game out. And you know, we got invited to play that, which is cool. But yeah.
I mean, it looked cool. You know, one of those games that we'll have to keep an eye on and maybe cover down the road. But, you know, just it was really cool to be a part of, and very, very neat to kind of get to experience that. Now, some party games that we played, I think the two big ones that we played were Royalty Free for All.
Yeah.
Which was a brawler with royalty-free characters. That was fun.